Welcome to This is America in VOA Special English. I'm June Sims.
And I'm Christopher Cruz. This week on our program, we learn about citizen science and its growing popularity. We also hear from a group that uses trash to make music. And later, we tell you about an artist who creates sculptures with a chainsaw.
More and more people are getting involved in science. These are not professional scientists, but members of the public. Public involvement in scientific research is known as citizen science. There's a science project for just about any interest, and professional scientists are often happy to have the help.
An example of citizen science is a project called Project Budburst. Over the past six growing seasons, Project Budburst has used thousands of volunteer observers. They record when local plants develop their leaves, flowers, and fruit. The observations go into a huge database. Then, plant scientists can study the data to look for changes over time. Project Director Sandra Henderson says participatory science like this is an idea that is growing quickly.
Originally it was, well, I don't want to say limited, but it was a lot of weather data and bird data. Now what we're seeing is more and more and more taxa, more and more interest, and as a result, there's really a citizen science project to meet just about any interest.
For example, people who enjoy astronomy can observe changes in the brightness of a star. People can examine satellite images of Earth to look for sites where archaeologists might find the lost tomb of Genghis Khan, the Mongolian warrior and ruler. Or someone interested in orca whales can listen to underwater microphones and let researchers know when the whales are present.
Thousands of Americans and Canadians volunteered to count birds this past migration season as part of Project Feeder Watch. Retired teacher Joan Davies Rapp of Tacoma, Washington, has been a volunteer observer for a long time.
It's been fun to be a part of that whole thing. The migration things, I've noticed migrations of different birds coming up the last 12 years. Things have changed a bit.
Another area where citizen science has grown is in testing water. Amanda Bruner coordinates Sound Citizen, a project based at the University of Washington campus in Tacoma. It keeps track of pollutants in Puget Sound.
Maybe a few scientists on a boat can go out and collect 20 samples in a day, but when we involve the public, we can talk about thousands of samples, which certainly gives us much more confidence in what we're finding.
This is important because Ms. Bruner says some people, including scientists, still question whether average citizens can collect reliable data. New digital tools can help settle questions about data quality and make it easier for people to take part in citizen science.
Yes, I'm scrolling through a list of almost 200 plants that we track. It's under...
There it is.
Yeah, so Acer flabrum or just Rocky Mountain maple.
Dennis Ward pulls out his smartphone to demonstrate the app for Project Budburst as he inspects a maple tree in a public plaza. Mr. Ward takes a close-up picture of the seed pods, confirms the identification with the app, and then uploads the sighting.
One of the wonderful things about using mobile technology is that, as you can see, it actually has the latitude and longitude that is taken from the phone when I took the picture. And I can even say whether or not a little bit about the site.
Mr. Ward works with educational technology. He says smartphone apps and interactive websites reduce errors and make it easier to share data.
And there we are. I can just say, done. And my single report has been added.
Public health research is another area where average citizens are getting involved. In some cases, whether researchers like it or not. The idea is for the public to have a voice in how public health studies are done. There is even a saying for this kind of activism: no more research about us without us.
Vocal Trash is a group that sings and dances through popular tunes from different periods. The members play instruments made from trash cans, water bottles, and other items saved from the landfill. Their message is to reuse and recycle. Vocal Trash has performed at fairs and rodeos and other events. Steve Linder started Vocal Trash.
I don't want to work. I don't want to play. I don't want to do anything. I just want to play Monday can all day.
Here we go.
I don't want to work. I want to play Monday can all day.
What we're doing is taking old classics and kind of giving them a redo and, recycling old classics and giving them an urban kind of a hip-hop feel.
Steve Linder not only plays the trash can, he also plays hubcaps from automobiles, metal buckets, plastic barrels, and plastic water bottles. So do the other five members of the group. Kelsey Ray is the lead vocalist.
We started the group about 11 years ago. We were singers first, and so we put together the name Vocal Trash.
The show also includes music from today and breakdancing.
There's a fire starting in my heart, reaching the fever pitch, it's bringing me out to dark. Finally, I can see you crystal clear. Go ahead.
When we first started the group, it was just to be an entertainment entity, and the awareness grew out of people coming up to us and saying, God, I love the recycled instruments and the message you have. And we started being more and more aware of that we've got lightning in a bottle. We've got something to say here.
The percussion instruments are not the only ones that have been recycled.
We like to say we rescue items from a landfill and make music out of them. So we come up with the designs, and actually we have a company that puts them together for us.
The body of the upright bass was once a milk can, and band members play some very interesting-looking guitars.
Well, we're playing a toolbox guitar that would normally end up in a landfill, just a toolbox, an old toolbox that's been refurbished and now sounds great. This is a gas can that would normally sit on the back of a Jeep, but now it has been transformed into a really nice sounding blues guitar, and you can't help but see the instruments and get the message out of what we're doing.
A couple of years ago, Steve Linder and Kelsey Ray decided to make that message more clear.
My partner and I looked at each other and thought, why not be a group with a message? And that's when we came up with Think Before You Throw It Away.
We're going green if you know what I mean.
After all, it took some thought to think of a toolbox as a musical instrument.
It also takes some thought to think of a chainsaw as a tool for an artist. Most people use chainsaws to cut down trees or cut off branches, but Marty Long uses a chainsaw to carve sculptures out of wood. Recently, at the Maryland State Fair, he showed his skill at speed carving. In just 45 minutes, he created an owl from a block of wood.
I love chainsaw carving. I love art. It's fun. People love it. It makes people smile.
Marty Long began his career carving ice sculptures, also with a chainsaw. Then he began carving tree stumps. Today, he is with a group called Masters of the Chainsaw. They organize shows and competitions. Tim Sorellis and his wife, Chris, stopped to watch Mr. Long at work.
To see from a block of wood into these pieces of art, it's just incredible.
To watch it from the stump turn into that artwork, I didn't know you could do that with a chainsaw.
Marty Long uses many different kinds of blades.
It is like having different brushes, paint brushes. Start with the big ones, then you work your way down and use the finer ones for details.
He also uses blow torches and stain to add definition to his art. Of course, working with a chainsaw has risks.
Chainsaws are one of the most dangerous tools you can use. And the chainsaw companies will say it's the most dangerous thing you can do with a chainsaw.
Marty Long says his ideas come from drawings and photos and wild animals. He likes the challenge of working with wood, even with the safety risks.
Like in this guy here, we found a nail. There are knots, there are fissures and cracks.
There is variety in his work.
I would say eagles, owls, and bears are the most popular. What I like to carve is something in motion, something telling a story.
Like a 6-meter dragon on a tree stump.
It was for a family that adopted two Chinese girls. On the bottom we put a Chinese symbol for double happiness.
There is a waiting list for people who want a tree stump carved on their property. The stumps are priced between $3,000 and $6,000.
One of a kind seems to be really attractive to people. The fact that it's still rooted into the ground, it's kind of an experience more than just a piece of art.
The program was produced by Brianna Blake, with reporting by Tom Bonsi, Susan Logue, and Deborah Block. I'm Christopher Cruz.
And I'm June Sims. You can find videos based on today's program at our website, voaspecialenglish.com. You can also find transcripts and MP3s of our programs, along with podcasts and activities for learning English. Join us again next week for This is America in VOA Special English.